Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchDailyCast.com. Good Sunday evening for May 8th, 2022. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and here to go through the aftermath of WrestleMania Backlash, which just went off the air a few minutes ago, with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline standing tall over RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre in the main event. There was some question as to what the main event would be with that match, as well as Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair, both main event-worthy matches. And when I was on the flagship with Wade Keller this past week, we talked about how when you have two matches like that, both of which have a good argument to go on last, it could end up being the finish of the match that determines which match goes on last. And as it played out tonight, neither finish, I don't think, really stood in the way from either match being the main event. I think as both matches were booked, and the finishes of both matches certainly made them main event worthy. So WWE opting instead to go with Bloodline versus RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre. So we'll talk about WrestleMania Backlash tonight. We'll talk about Under Siege Impact Saturday night special event, which I am almost all the way caught up on. I've got it in the corner of my eye as I'm hosting the show tonight, the last hour or so of the match. I'm up to Tasha Steelz versus Havoc. So that is the match I'm keeping an eye on here. But we'll run down Under Siege, at least up to this point. Two pre-show matches, Heath and Rhino defeated Raj Singh and Shira. Rich Swann defeated Laredo Kid, a returning to Impact Wrestling Laredo Kid, and Speedball Mike Bailey. Match number one, Giselle Shaw defeating Madison Rain, so defeating one half of the Knockouts Tag Champs. You have to imagine that will go somewhere. Chris Sabin over Steve Macklin in the second match. Taya Valkyrie defeated Deonna Purrazzo to retain the Reina de Reinas title. Mia Yim made her Impact return, so she is back with Impact. Ace Austin defeated Trey Miguel to retain the X Division title, and Honor No More defeated the Bullet Club in a big multi-man tag match. On WrestleMania Backlash tonight, it was the opener of Cody Rhodes defeating Seth Rollins. And, you know, I think that's going to be a match where usually in that spot where you have a rematch from WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes getting the victory there, probably a temptation to put Seth Rollins over. But given the fanfare that Cody Rhodes has come into WWE with, and given the place on the card that WWE likely wants him to occupy, it's not a surprise that Rhodes won here. In fact, I would have argued that he should win here. He did. You have to imagine long-term they're going to plan on him being an opponent for Roman Reigns. I don't know whether that's SummerSlam. I don't know whether that's further down the line than that. At this point, I don't think it's going to be before that, but that is, I would assume, the long-term goal. And while WWE isn't usually good at building up long-term plans like that, it seems like they're doing it with Cody here. You know, this match I thought was really good. It was a very different match. I loved their WrestleMania match too, but I thought this was different than their WrestleMania match in that WrestleMania match was kind of Cody reintroducing himself to WWE, getting his WWE sea legs or land legs back under him, I should say. And this was more about, you know, the next step in Cody's evolution. This was about, at least the first part of the match, was Seth Rollins really owning the match up to that point. And so, you know, eventually Cody did come back to get the victory and evened the match up a little more as it went on, but still a really good effort from both men. As you would expect, you know, both are pros, both did the little things right in this match. So really good to see. And presumably this, you know, Cody used the tights to get the victory on the roll-up after Seth had attempted to use the tights moments earlier. So Seth Rollins arguing with the ref afterward. You could imagine this going to a third match at Hell in a Cell, although really Cody getting two victories in these major matches should allow him to move on and to do something else. But we'll see on that. Match number two was Omos defeating Bobby Lashley after a cane shot from MVP. You know, I thought WrestleMania was sort of the end of the Omos experiment when Lashley beat him so decisively. Putting MVP with Omos refreshes him a little bit. And so, you know, I thought Lashley had a little bit more upward mobility. I thought if you put Lashley over Omos here, he could be in the conversation for being an opponent for Roman Reigns within the next 4 to 6 months. You know, obviously Drew McIntyre's in that conversation. Cody Rhodes in that conversation. Shinsuke Nakamura reappearing on SmackDown. He's back in that conversation. So I thought Lashley deserved to be in that conversation as well. With the loss to Omos here, it seems like that's not going to be the case. I do think there is a place for someone the size of Omos on a WWE roster. And, you know, to be honest, for being a WWE trained wrestler, he's not bad. Like, he's not the worst big man I've ever seen, which I get is damning with faint praise, but you've got to start somewhere, right? So, given his truly limited wrestling, I mean, he didn't really do any wrestling on NXT TV before he was called up. He did some NXT house shows. But, you know, he's getting his experience basically on the main roster here. So there could still be a learning curve for him. There still could be improvement coming down the pike. But he's done okay. And for an Omos match, I thought this was pretty decent. Match number three was Edge defeating AJ Styles via ref stoppage. Rhea Ripley ended up joining Edge's faction here. She interfered to assist Edge when Damian Priest was barred from ringside in a stipulation from Monday Night Raw this past week. Priest did come out and cause a distraction. He did not reach the ringside area, but that was the case here tonight. And, you know, three kind of stinky finishes in a row. You had the roll-up with the tights in the Cody match. You had the cane shot by MVP in match two. And then you had the interference and the distraction here of AJ Styles in this match. Edge putting a submission on Styles. Styles did not quit. He did not tap, but the ref stopped the match because he was no longer conscious. So Edge gets the win here. Rhea Ripley adds a different dimension to Edge's faction now with Rhea Ripley and with Damian Priest. There's rumors of Ciampa being in that conversation and being in that organization at some point. So I like the addition of Ripley. I think her heel character fits the motif of Edge's group here, so I don't mind that. And to be honest, it did feel like, you know, even though I'm complaining about the finishes here, it did feel like even as recently as Monday on Raw when Priest was barred from ringside, that this match was not going to conclude without someone new joining Edge's ranks here, and that's exactly what happened. I thought the match was better than their WrestleMania match. I thought going in that the AJ Styles arm injury angle would give another excuse for another kind of coasting second gear match here, but it was a lot more energetic than I thought it was going to be. Match number four was interesting, by the way, that it was three Raw matches and then three SmackDown matches. I'm not sure that's ever happened on a interbranded pay-per-view like this, but the last three matches were SmackDown matches. Ronda Rousey defeating Charlotte Flair in an I Quit match to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. I thought this was a really good match. They brawled all over the arena, into the stands, used all kinds of weapons. I thought it was really well done. I thought that the physicality was evident here and obvious, and no tricks. Rousey wins when she uses the arm breaker in the steel chair, and Charlotte Flair says, "I quit." And later on, they said that Charlotte Flair's arm had been broken, storyline, by this move. So my assumption was that Rousey would win here, and the rubber match would be played out at Hell in a Cell, you know, especially with, as the match went on, all the walk and brawling they did, everything around ringside and in the audience. I thought, you know, the next step then would be to try to keep it contained. Charlotte would want it inside of the cell so that, you know, Rousey could not go around and use all the tricks quote-unquote, that she used here to get the victory. But Brian Alvarez on Twitter saying that the arm injury angle, the broken arm of Flair, could be used to write her out because she's getting married soon. So we'll have to see if Hell in a Cell will fit into those plans or not. Match number five was Madcap Moss defeating Happy Corbin with a sunset flip. I've long been a proponent of Madcap Moss, but this was not his night. The crowd was not into this match, and by the end of it, we're getting quite restless, actually. It went much longer than it needed to, in my opinion. I do like Moss getting the victory here. He's got some upward mobility, but you've got to change the character. He can't go forward, especially now that presumably he's going to break away from Corbin and move on to other things. I don't think he can really keep this character, and nor should he. You know, this is a character that was introduced by Happy Corbin. He should want to, even in storyline, separate himself from this character. And, you know, for the sake of Moss's future, WWE should want to give him a new character. So that's kind of my take on it. Match was okay. It was a good effort by both guys, but the crowd was not having it. It was just in a bad spot, and it went too long. And then the main event, the Bloodline defeated RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre, Reigns pinning Riddle after a spear. This felt like, you know, in some ways a house show main event, you know, where they do the six-man. I saw an incarnation of this last summer when John Cena was doing the house show loop and they came by Fort Myers and Reigns teamed with the Usos. I believe it was against Cena and the Street Profits. And, you know, obviously there was more to this match than you would get out of a house show main event, but that's kind of how it felt, at least at the start. You know, interesting decision here on the finish, because it felt like Drew McIntyre is going to be the next opponent for Roman Reigns. Long time coming on that. They've held off, and they've done a nice job of holding off on that. But with the finish, you know, I expected McIntyre to beat one of the Usos to eventually get that shot with Reigns, and then instead Reigns pins Riddle here. So interesting to see what that means, how McIntyre gets that shot at Reigns, if in fact that's what they're going next, perhaps even at Hell in a Cell. So, yeah, it's something. I mean, it may be TV focused. You know, McIntyre earns a shot on television, something to that effect. But you know, it'll be interesting to see. Maybe they go in a different direction. Maybe they, you know, maybe they do something with Nakamura next and they hold off. Maybe this is just a tease of McIntyre Reigns and they kind of hold off on that for a little while longer, perhaps trying to hold off until, you know, Money in the Bank and then SummerSlam for a rematch or something like that. So I don't know. It's really interesting to me to see that finish, and I think that'll be a big talking point coming out of this show. And speaking of talking, I want to hear from you. I'm done talking. So 515-605-9345 is the number to call. We've got two folks on hold, so plenty of time to get to you if you have an opinion, have some thoughts on this show, have any feedback you want to share with us. Make sure to press 1 when you call in. Otherwise, you can hang on the phone, hang on the line and listen. And if it's getting too late for you on a Sunday night, trust me, I get it. You can email us at wnialivecast@gmail.com. We do have one email in the hopper right now, but I've got it up. So if you email us during the show, we will get to it, and we'll talk about it. So without further ado, let's go to our first caller. And kicking us off, as always, here on the post-pay-per-view / premium live event edition of Wrestling Night in America is Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, welcome back to Wrestling Night in America. Good to hear from you. And what did you think of Backlash?
Well, Greg, first of all, it's always good to talk to you, my friend. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you leading us off here again.
Yeah, no, glad to do it. WrestleMania Backlash was a very, very good show, very well-worked show. I was, you know, I kind of expected it would be, but I think it – I would definitely give it a solid B-plus for sure. I thought it was a really, really overall good show. I enjoyed it. But I actually wanted to switch gears really fast and talk about – I didn't get to see Under Siege because I just haven't had a chance to really watch Impact much. I would like to. There's a lot of acts that I'm really interested in Impact, but it just mm-hmm. With my schedule, it doesn't really fit in. And so I just kind of – I'm able to keep up and to kind of see what's going on. But since you've already seen the Deonna Taya match and Deonna lose, I'm really worried where they're going with Deonna. A lot of losses here lately. It all started with two losses to Mickey, which I didn't really – again, I love Mickey James. I respect her. But I just – Deonna was on such a good trajectory in her, with her heel character, and I – a lot of the highlights I've seen, I've liked. I think she overall can be an even better babyface, but I like what she's doing as a heel. But now it feels like she has not won in a long, long time. And I know, I guess they figure, well, she can get her heat back. And then they had her on Dynamite, which I don't understand why you would have her on Dynamite. I know that they're doing ROH stuff, and she was in ROH at one point. But, that again, that's been forever ago. I just don't know where they're going with her. So what do you think of her losing so much lately, and where do you think they might be going with her? Because I feel like it's a little too much right now.
Well, that was my reaction, too, to seeing her lose to Taya Valkyrie is, wow, that's a lot of losses for someone who had been protected for a really long time in Impact and who had been collecting these belts, the ROH Women's Championship. She had the Knockouts title. She had the AAA Reina de Reinas title. Losing the title to Taya Valkyrie at the last pay-per-view and then losing again. You know, I wouldn't have done the rematch here. Like, I don't know that there was any reason to do the rematch, especially if Deonna was going to lose again, knowing how much, as you pointed out, she had been losing lately. And, you know, losing on AEW TV to Mercedes Martinez, who's the new ROH champion. You know, they had to get the belt off Deonna and get it on to, you know, someone that was in AEW. I get it. I get losing the Reina de Reinas title. You know, Taya Valkyrie is going to be in AAA, and she's going to be in Mexico and be able to defend the title a lot more than Deonna Purrazzo would. So I understand. What I don't get is booking her in this rematch and having her take another loss. That's where I didn't really understand it. Now, with Mia Yim returning to Impact and seemingly starting a feud up here with Deonna Purrazzo, that could be more losses, because if you're going to bring someone like Mia Yim in, who's had a level of success and Impact previously, you know, you're not going to job Mia Yim to Deonna Purrazzo her first time out. You know, I don't think that's going to be the case. So is that another loss that you got to chalk up for Deonna? So, you know, the only thing I can think of is this, you know, they haven't really done the losing streak gimmick here, but that could always lead to a babyface turn. And I know that's been talked about here on the show is what a good babyface Deonna Purrazzo would make and has made in the past. Obviously, that's not the best way. You're kind of backing into a babyface turn by doing a losing streak gimmick, but that's unfortunately how booking 101 has taken place a lot of times, is those losing streaks by heels end up as babyfaces. So would not be the best choice to get her to be a babyface, but I don't know. That might be something that's coming and a means to an end with the losses here.
Yeah, I'm definitely still intrigued, with her character, because I think she's, with the virtuoso, I think she's done a good job, with it. But yeah, the losses have just been too much. But I'm curious to see where they go with it. But going back to Backlash, I very good show, really enjoyed it. I'll go with the first match. I know you kind of talked about it, which you should have. With Cody and Seth, I mean, it was a really, really good match. Really, really enjoyed it. But again, I don't, knowing Cody was going to win, I just think Cody should go over clean with Crossroads. I just don't see him having to do a tit for tat. He rolls me up, I'm going to roll him up with the tights. And I just put Cody over clean. He's a big star. Let him have a big win. Seth's Teflon at this point. He can lose, and it's not a big deal. It's not gonna hurt him in any way by losing to Cody in a really, really good match, which they had. It was probably a good three and a half. Almost 4-star match, and it's just like saying, I mean, what do you think about? Did you like it? Did you think Cody should just go over clean with Crossroads?
Well, I didn't like it in the context of the first three matches all having wonky finishes, but I was a little more forgiving to this because it wasn't Cody cheating out of nowhere because he's acting heelish. It was Seth rolled him up, tried to use the tights, Cody reversed it and used the tights, basically giving Seth a taste of his own medication. Basically, this is not something Cody would have normally done under normal circumstances, but Seth went there first, so Cody felt like Seth had opened the door, so Cody's going to, give him a little payback. And so that's kind of how I took it. Not that he necessarily needed to do it, but he was going to, if Seth wanted to play that game, he was going to play with him. So, you know, maybe I'm giving WWE too much credit on that or whatever the case may be, but I was a little easier on that finish than I think some of the ones that followed.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about it. I had almost forgotten about it. So you said that it was like kind of three wonky finishes in a row, which it kind of was. I was like, wow, that really was kind of bad. But, you know, so I don't like three in a row for sure. But, yeah, it was like it was a great match. And I'm liking, you know, what Cody's doing. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how long, you know, this lasts with the fans. I mean, they did seem very into him tonight. So that was a good sign. I mean, the crowd seemed pretty into everything, other than the Moss stuff, which, you know, was kind of to be expected. But I really wanted to kind of talk about, again, was the Charlotte and Ronda match, which I thought was fantastic, actually. I knew it would be physical, and I expected it to be very physical, which it should have been. But I just thought they did about as great of a job as you could do by telling that story in and out of the ring of what they, you know, just getting their stuff in. And so they made the right choice, like you said, with Ronda winning. I think she had to win here. I mean, there's really no point of Charlotte winning it from where they were trying to go. But for some reason they don't. Like, let's say they don't go with Ronda and Charlotte in a third match at Hell in a Cell. Like, where do you think Ronda can really go from here? Because, again, on SmackDown, there's not a lot for her. SmackDown is just so thin on every side right now from every angle. And to me, SmackDown has been just honestly not a very good show for quite a while other than Roman. I mean, Roman has made the show, and then Charlotte and Ronda. They're the only reasons why SmackDown is even really watchable. Because the rest of it,
I would throw Sami Zayn in there, mileage may vary.
No, that's fair. Sami is good at what he does. I agree. I wish they could have used him better when he first came in, but now I think he's just gotten to the point where, like you said, he's enjoying the heel character and he's good at it. He makes you laugh, and so yeah, I would say that too. But going back to as far as just overall the thinness of SmackDown, where would Ronda go, you know, if for some reason they don't go with a trilogy between her and Charlotte? And that's really all I had. Like I said, it was a good show. I would give it a B+. And like I said, Greg, always appreciate you doing these, man. I wish I could call him more often. Hopefully on Sundays I'll be able to talk a little more often and get with you, man, because I always appreciate talking to you. And thank you for taking my call, man, as always.
Yeah, that'd be great, Sean. Love to hear from you. You know, even if you can't call in on Sundays, you can always send us an email, wnialivecast@gmail.com. So love to hear your thoughts, even if they're in email form. So, you know, if it's not Charlotte, who's next? So I think if you don't run back Charlotte Ronda at Hell in a Cell, you don't really need Ronda at Hell in a Cell, okay? You probably, like tonight, we didn't have the Raw Women's Championship defended, right? So I think you would then do Raw Women's Championship at Hell in a Cell. Maybe you don't have Ronda Rousey at Hell in a Cell. There are not a lot of options, as Sean pointed out. If it's not Charlotte, you've got Sasha Banks, who would be third on your depth chart, I guess, who is in a tag team with Naomi. So she's really out of the question, I think, in terms of being a real opponent for Ronda Rousey at Hell in a Cell. So let me bring up the SmackDown roster here. You got Lacey Evans, who came out on SmackDown. She seems to be, you know, giving those babyface videos. So I don't know that would fit in with what they want to do with Ronda Rousey. You know, Natalya is in a tag team again with Shayna Baszler. Raquel Rodriguez is pretty new. I don't know that they'd want to push her into that spot. But, you know, you could do Baszler and Rousey. Again, Natalya and Shayna are a tag team, but they're not tag team champions. You know, they're not. I don't think they have to be focused on the tag team division. So, you know, the MMA background of Baszler versus Rousey would be really intriguing. I just don't know that WWE sees Baszler at that level. You know, we don't have a lot of evidence that Vince McMahon or creative sees her at that to use against someone the star power of Ronda Rousey. They just never seem to have really gotten behind her in terms of a major singles push. I still think she would be your best bet at this point, but I if it's not Flair again, I wouldn't be surprised for them to not have Rousey defending the title at Hell in a Cell next month. So the Briscoes just won the Impact titles on the Under Siege show that I'm watching here. So that's they're in Impact, looks like, for good here. Let's go back to the phones. We have the 410 area code. This is Reverend Keith from Baltimore, Maryland. Reverend Keith, welcome to Wrestling Night in America tonight.
Welcome, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. I just want to say this to Mr. Sean. If he thought that this show was a B+, why did he start off by talking about Under Siege? Wink, wink, Sean. Love you, baby. Anyway, back to the show tonight. I think Sean's B+, I think he was grading it a little too high. I saw it more as a C, simply because I agree with everything you said, Greg, about the wonky finishes. The matches were predictable. And especially the way they finished the show with the main event, you would think that either Drew would have scored the pinfall on either the Usos or, you know, or if you're going to have a finish like that, you know, you would still maybe allow the baby faces to get their heat back after the match. You know what I mean? Because the way the show ended, it was just all about Roman and the bloodline. And this is becoming an every week occurrence on every show, whether it's SmackDown, Raw, premium live events, it's all about the bloodline. So it's just everything is just so predictable. So, I mean, sure, the in-ring action on this show was good. But from a storytelling point, from predictability, I would grade it a C. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Predictability is not always bad. Like, I think Ronda Rousey over Charlotte Flair was something that most people would have predicted, sure, but I think it was also the right move.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, the unpredictability, I think, came in the main event, and, you know, Roman Reigns getting the pinfall in that match is not something that I saw coming. I'm not sure what that means for Drew McIntyre's challenge. You know, I think that we all thought was coming next. I think this at least kind of forces us to tap the brakes and think about, you know, potentially Shinsuke Nakamura stepping back into the picture and them sort of holding out Drew McIntyre's challenge for maybe later. That doesn't mean I don't think he'll challenge at Hell in a Cell, but I don't think it's as obvious or as clear coming out of this show as many expected it to be.
Okay, I can take that. But like I said, I agreed with most of your points even before you took Sean's call. So I don't know. Like I said, I would give it at the most a C+ because, you know, it just wasn't a good show to me. But moving on, Under Siege now was a very good show. I would give Under Siege an A. Wow. I mean, those men and women worked. And I'm gonna point out two distinct matches which made this show at least a B-. Two matches. The Saban-Macklin match, which was very well worked, told an excellent story. We're starting to see a resurgence in the career of one Chris Sabin. He really pulled out all the stops after getting his tail kicked for at least 7 out of the 13 minutes that this match went. Sabin fought from underneath, and he made you think that there was just no way that he was going to overcome Macklin's offense. I mean, they fought tooth and nail. That's one match, okay, which Sabin came out the winner. The other match, which I thought was match of the night, and you let me know. Did you see the show, Greg?
I am on the main event right now, Alexander versus Ishii, and I'm watching it as you're speaking, Reverend Keith.
Okay, so I won't mention that at all. Thank you for telling me. Okay, but now the match that I thought was match of the night was the Trey Miguel, Ace Austin, X Division title match. I mean, these guys prove that they are two of the best X Division wrestlers slash lightweight slash cruiserweight, whatever you want to call them, wrestlers ever. I mean, they put on, I thought, a very good match. I'm not going to go so far as to quote Dave Meltzer, but it was definitely a well-worked match, and I thought they showed athleticism. They showed true grit. They were in and out of the ring, the Saban match, and it was just an electrifying 12 minutes. What were your thoughts on that match?
Yeah, I agree. And when you look at Ace Austin and Trey Miguel, you're talking about two of the higher-end X Division wrestlers in that title's history. You know, I think if you trace the lineage of the X Division title for the nearly 20 years that Impact has been in existence, I think, and you list the major competitors for that title, I think Ace Austin and Trey Miguel are probably in the upper echelon. And to have them, you know, they could be a signature feud for that X Division title in Impact. I mean, they could be I don't know that it would ever rise to the level of a Joe Styles or anything like that. But, you know, they could do a multi-month feud over that X Division title. The X Division isn't terribly deep in Impact right now. So this is one place where you could really get away with it and not feel like others are not getting an opportunity. And certainly they will have earned it on their merits. I mean, as you mentioned, they're two of the most talented wrestlers in the company for sure. But, you know, Impact has never really, especially in the last 10 years or so, has just never really gotten behind the X Division with any kind of consistency. And so, you know, Ace Austin, Trey Miguel, I think if you built that feud up, you could easily main event at the very least one of these events on Fight TV or Impact Plus. You know, maybe not a pay-per-view, but certainly you could main event one of these off-month shows that they do. Right now, they're not in a position to do that, unfortunately. So I agree. I thought the match was excellent, and they're two very talented performers. But unfortunately, the X Division is sort of limiting right now with the way that it's booked within Impact.
Okay, Greg, I'm going to have to go after this, but I do want to say that it's good to see Mia Yim back in Impact, and I think that she will be in the title picture more sooner than later. I think it'll be a good feud between her and Deonna. And let me know your thoughts. Thank you so much for taking my call. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next weekend.
Sounds good. Thank you, Reverend Keith. Yeah, the return of Mia Yim and feud with Deonna Purrazzo, I kind of touched on it when I talked with Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's going to be interesting to see how they booked that with Purrazzo having taken a number of losses and Yim returning, and you would think needs some big wins out of the gate. And who knows, maybe they don't do Yim Purrazzo. Maybe that was just a way to reintroduce Yim to the Impact audience through that match with Taya, or the aftermath of that match with Taya and Deonna Purrazzo. But I think, you know, with Tasha Steelz as the Knockouts champion, she defeated Havoc to retain the title on Under Siege. I think a Tasha Steelz Mia Yim match would be really cool. I think the mic work, the character work, the build-up between those two would be really fun to watch. So that's something really interesting to me to kind of take a look at. We've got one more caller on hold. We've got one email to get to. So if you want to get in line, 515-605-9345. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and this is Wrestling Night in America for May 8th, 2022, as we talk about the aftermath of WrestleMania Backlash, which just concluded about a half hour ago. We're also talking a little bit of Under Siege, Impact's monthly offering that took place Saturday night. So let me get to the email here, wnialivecast@gmail.com, by the way, is the address you can send your emails to anytime. We go through the mailbag each and every weekend. So if you want to send an email any other night, you can do that too. This is from Brian. He says, "Hi, Greg. Hope all is well. I have a question. working under the assumption that rumors are true and Roman is leaving WWE, who would you promote to the new face of WWE, i.e. Roman's current position? Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, I'm not sure if he meant to do that, or is there someone else you can picture immediately stepping into that role? So the house show this weekend, Roman Reigns, I believe it was Trenton, New Jersey, Roman took the mic and said he wasn't sure how many of these he was going to do, or if he was going to be back in Trenton, or, you know, his career taking a different path. I know Fightful Select has reported that Creative is not under the impression he's leaving. They're still booking him months out, but they are under the impression that at some point he will attempt Hollywood. Now, that doesn't mean tomorrow. That doesn't mean 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. There's really no date on it, according to the report. So I think it's a little premature to say that he is leaving WWE anytime soon. I think it's probably safer to be under the assumption that he's going to be in WWE at least for the next year or two. And if that's the case, it's really hard to predict who would take his place as the star, the face of WWE. Again, I've argued for Bianca Belair. Even with Roman Reigns still in the company, I think Bianca Belair should be the face of WWE in as much as there is a face of WWE. So that would kind of be my argument. I go back to that, a point that I've made before. You know, I don't think McIntyre or Lashley is it. I don't know if that person is on the roster right now. You know, you could point to Bron Breakker and say, you know, based on the booking in NXT, he could be the guy that WWE wants for that spot. Whether or not he'll be qualified by that point, I don't know. You know, there could be others. Cody Rhodes, if all goes well and he continues his ascent and he fits into WWE, you know, back into the fold and everything goes well, he could be the guy, but I don't really know how much longer he wants to wrestle either. You know, he's got aspirations outside of wrestling to which he is partaken in. Before too. So is he the guy long term, like they kind of see Roman Reigns to be? I don't know. So kind of hard with it being probably so far into the future to predict who that person might be. Could be someone who hasn't even debuted in NXT yet. So it's really hard to say, but if I had to give you a name, I'd say Bianca Belair. Absolutely. All right, let's go back to the phones. The 813 area code, 813, you are on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Jeremy from Tampa. Actually, you were just talking about the subject with Roman Reigns saying he's not going to be around much longer. Do you think this is kind of a setup for him and Rock at a future WrestleMania show?
Oh, interesting. I think we're kind of going with the assumption that WWE is planning for The Rock to be at WrestleMania to fight Roman Reigns next year. I think that's kind of what they're trying to will into existence. You know, The Rock's schedule could change that, and other things could happen that change that between now and then. But I think they're kind of crossing their fingers and hoping that's the case. So obviously The Rock has had his foray into entertainment very successfully from professional wrestling. So, you know, could this comment be sort of the start of something? I don't know. You know, the hints were dropped. I think there was something on an episode of Young Rock recently that had Roman Reigns in it as a young character that kind of referenced a potential matchup down the line. So they could be doing really subtle builds and hints several months out for next year's WrestleMania. I wouldn't completely put it past them. And if that's the case, I think it's a great sign, because that means if they're starting to drop hints, including The Rock right now, that means he's in. I'm not as confident that that's actually the case. I do think that Reigns probably at some point wants to try acting. He's dabbled in it a little bit here and there. So I think probably he might regret saying what he said if you asked him honestly, because it has caused quite a stir. I'm not sure if he thought that this was going to cause this kind of reaction that it has and the speculation about his future that it has. So, you know, if you were to ask him, he might take that back at this point. But you know, I wouldn't rule it out. I think it's one of those things that we got to keep an eye on over the next few months. And if we see more and more hints being dropped, I think we can look back at this as possibly a dot to connect. But if there's nothing else there, it could just have been a coincidence maybe.
Hey, one more thing before I go. Hey, DJ owes me some chicken wings. Did he call in tonight?
DJ's not on the line right now.
Oh, tell him I'm looking for him. Hey, you guys have a great night. Stay safe.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it. So no more callers on hold. So I guess that'll wrap it up for this evening. Make sure that you tune in each and every Sunday night to Wrestling Night in America. We are on the air 8 p.m. Eastern each and every Sunday night, unless there's a special premium live event or a pay-per-view if you're AEW. So we'll go on the air after that show goes off the air, whether it's Saturday night or Sunday night, but we'll do that for each and every WWE and AEW pay-per-view. So make sure to tune in then. You can always call us. Email us anytime. Anytime you see something on Raw, SmackDown, AEW TV, Impact that you want our take on, please let me know, wnialivecast@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, @GregMParks. I know I've been really bad at tweeting during TV. I have rarely caught TV live in the last few weeks, although I was tweeting live during Backlash tonight, so I'm trying to get back on that wagon. So follow me at @GregMParks. Love to hear your take, love to interact with fans, so would appreciate that follow. So and don't forget, I have a full-page column in each and every Torch newsletter. Was on the flagship with Wade Keller Tuesday night on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. I make semi-frequent appearances there, so if you haven't listened to that, you can kind of check that out and see how right our discussion about WrestleMania Backlash turned out to be now that the show is over. So thank you for tuning in tonight, folks. I know it's late on a Sunday night, so appreciate you having you along with us here on a Sunday night if you're listening live. And if you're not, thanks for hitting the download button and pressing play anyway, whether it's a day or two later. So always appreciate it. Hope everybody has a good week. And don't forget to tune in next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, because if it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America.